Thank you to our Tigran, and good afternoon, everyone. I'll be talking about phosphorus movement through intact soil columns from fertilized and manure-amended plots with and without incorporation. I would like to acknowledge my co-authors. Peter Tan was undergraduate summer students from the University of Winnipeg, and Wally Akinremi and Don Flayton, they were both collaborators of this project from University of Manitoba, and both of them are here in the audience today. Well, phosphorus, as you know, is an environmentally important nutrient, mainly because of its connection to eutrophication, which is basically an increased growth of undesirable algae and aquatic weeds in water bodies. And in Manitoba, where I come from, it is a serious water quality challenge. And this picture is taken in 2006 during August summertime. It is the Grand Beach of Lake Winnipeg, which is the sixth largest lake in North America and the 10th largest lake in the world. Now, you can see the symptoms of eutrophication here. And this Grand Beach is one of the beautiful beaches of Lake Winnipeg, located at the east side of the lake. And it has a very high recreation value and usually highly populated. But as you can see, it's pretty kind of like lonely during this time because of the algal blooms. Now, for the growth of algae, both nitrogen and phosphorus are important, but most of these blue algae are blue-green algae, and they can fix their own nitrogen. So very often, it is the phosphorus that limits the growth of algae. And if the lake water concentration, lake water phosphorus concentration exceeds about 0.02 parts per million, which is a very, very low concentration of phosphorus, that would trigger eutrophication. Now, there are so many sources of phosphorus to lake water. One is the phosphorus lost from agricultural lands. And surface runoff is usually the dominant mechanism of phosphorus transport to water bodies from agricultural soils. However, substantial leaching losses can take place, particularly in sandy soils. And once leached, those phosphorus can re-emerge to surface waters. And if we apply manure or fertilizer, that could increase the risk of phosphorus loss to water bodies. So we conducted this study with two objectives. One was to quantify and compare phosphorus leaching losses through intact soil columns 4 weeks after manure or fertilizer amendment. So we were comparing two different manures and a fertilizer. And we also wanted to compare the amendment with and without incorporation with tillage. Our second objective was to relate these leaching losses of phosphorus to different soil test phosphorus measures. Okay, going on to the materials and methods, we had four fertility treatments. We used two types of manure, liquid swine manure, which I will be calling LSM from now onwards, and solid cattle manure, or SCM. The fertilizer we used was monoammonium phosphate, or MAP, and we also had a control treatment where no manure or fertilizer were applied. And we had two tillage treatments, incorporated with rototillage or unincorporated, which means there was no tillage. And we used a field with no recent history of manure application, so this doesn't really fit into this session because there's no long-term manure application history. And the location was Carmen, Manitoba, and our soil was orthic black chernozem, that is according to the Canadian system of soil classification. We used a split plot design with four applicates. We assigned the tillage treatments to the main plots and the four fertility treatments to the subplots. And the manure or fertilizer were applied at a rate to provide 80 kilograms of phosphorus per hectare. There was surface applied. And after application, for the incorporated treatments, we immediately rototilled for incorporation. Four weeks after manure or fertilizer amendment, We took an intact soil column. The depth of the column was 15 cm from each plot. And we, at the same time, we also collected a surface soil sample for analysis. The soil samples were analyzed for soil test phosphorus using four different methods. Olsen phosphorus, because the Olsen phosphorus is the method used in the province of Manitoba for both agronomic purposes as well as for regulatory purposes. We also used Mellick 3P, modified Kelowna P, and water extractable P. We quantified the phosphorus leaching losses from those intact soil columns that we took using a kind of a rain drip system that provided rain at an intensity of 1.2 centimeters per hour. And we collected the leachate fractions using a fraction collector, and until about one pore volume of leachate was collected. And we analyzed those leachate samples immediately for dissolved reactive phosphorus or DRP. So moving on to results, I will first show you the soil test phosphorus, the changes in soil test phosphorus in different treatments. Now, these are the four different soil test phosphorus methods: water extractable P, Olsen P, Mellick 3P, and Kelowna P. And these are the four different fertility treatments: control, monoammonium phosphate treated, solid cattle manure treated, and liquid swine manure treated. The blue bars are unincorporated plots, and the red ones are from the unincorporated plots. Now, as you can see, we found that application of either manure or fertilizer increased the soil test phosphorus, and with irrespective of the soil test method, monoammonium phosphate application had the greatest increase in soil test phosphorus. The tillage or the incorporation with tillage did not seem to have a consistent influence on soil test phosphorus changes. So the soil test phosphorus concentrations followed the order: monoammonium phosphate having the greatest, followed by liquid swine manure, then by solid cattle manure, and least in control. Increase in soil test phosphorus was significant only for monoammonium phosphate and liquid swine manure treated plots over the control treatment, and incorporation had no significant influence on soil test phosphorus. And now I will talk about the subsurface transport of phosphorus in these soils. So what I'm presenting here is the amount of dissolved reactive phosphorus leached from each column, given as milligrams of phosphorus leached per column. And here again, we observe the similar trend, like with monoammonium phosphate losing more phosphorus than other soils. Liquid swine manure had, after two manure treatment, liquid swine manure had more DRP leached than solid cattle manure. I will go back. Like one other thing we noticed was that incorporation reduced the DRP leached. Even though it did not have an effect on soil test phosphorus, the DRP leached was reduced by incorporation. So amount of DRP leached followed the order: monoammonium phosphate with the greatest, liquid swine manure, then solid cattle manure, and the least in control. The losses from monoammonium phosphate and liquid swine manure treated plots were significantly greater than from solid cattle manure treated and control plots. And the DRP leached from solid cattle manure treated plots did not show a significant difference over the control treatment. The incorporation with rototillage significantly reduced DRP leaching from soil columns in both manured and fertilized plots. We look at the relationship between the soil test phosphorus and the subsurface transport. So here what I'm showing you is the DRP leached against the soil test P for different soil test P methods: water extractable P, Olsen P, Mellick 3P, and Kelowna P. As you can clearly see, like these red data points are for unincorporated soils, and the blue ones are for the incorporated. The significant relationship or a significant correlation between DRP leached and soil test phosphorus were observed only for unincorporated soils. When we incorporate the soil, there was no significant correlation between the soil test phosphorus and DRP leached. So significant correlations between soil test P and DRP leached were observed only with unincorporated treatments. And for those treatments, the strength of correlations were in the order Kelowna phosphorus giving the greatest, followed by what extractable P, then by Melic-3P and leached with Olsen P. Whereas for incorporated treatments, DRP losses were generally small and also they were not significantly related to soil test phosphorus. Now when we talk about phosphorus loss in a larger scale, like in a watershed, we talk about the source factor and transport factor, and I took this figure from Sharpley et al. In 2003. And the critical source areas are identified as those where the high soil P source and high transport potential coincide. Now we can apply a similar concept to explain variability in subsurface phosphorus loss at a finer scale, like a small field plot like in this study. Application of fertilizer or manure in this study increased the P source, the soil test phosphorus increased. And the tillage or incorporation did not change the P source. However, the tillage changed the transport factor or significantly reduced the transport factor, which kind of pushed the tilled treatments out of this critical source area. So the magnitude of soil test phosphorus increase, so just to summarize, the magnitude of soil test phosphorus increase and quantity of P leached in amended soils was greatest with monoammonium phosphate and least with solid cattle manure. Incorporation of manure or fertilizer did not have a significant influence on soil test phosphorus changes, but it did reduce the quantity of phosphorus leached. Soil test phosphorus methods used in this study were reliable predictors of subsurface losses of phosphorus from soils when manure or fertilizer were not incorporated. However, they were not reliable predictors of phosphorus loss when manure or fertilizer were incorporated. Although incorporation had no significant effect on source factors controlling subsurface loss of P, it had a significant and beneficial effect on transport factors. So I would like to thank the University of Winnipeg for financial support and Rob and Mallika for technical support, and thank you very much for your attention. Well, I think both would have an effect, like if, because the form is different there, so there's an effect of the form too. And if we are applying like solid swine manure or liquid dairy cattle manure, like that might be different then, yeah.